minutes after the hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Good afternoon, Rams fans. We've got the Scott Patchen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. And Scott is joining us on the line. He was going to be in studio today. But Scott, my friend, even though you had an amazing performance on Saturday, we all are susceptible to car troubles, my friend.
Thank you for having me, man. Yes, not ideal having car troubles. Not ideal at all.
As many things as you know and are great at and stuff, apparently you're not a master mechanic. Is that right?
No, you know, I like to think I'm a jack of all trades, but a master of none. But I'm not a jack of all trades when it comes to cars.
I hear you, my friend. Okay, but you're good now. We're getting the car looked at. Everything's at least in the process of getting better.
Yeah, we're in the process of it right now. You know, so I got the rental for now. So I'm mobile. You know, but I'm finally back in Fort Collins. Took me all day to get back. So, but I'm here.
Yeah, it's all good, man. We're just happy to get you back, ready to go. Another test coming up this weekend, but let's look at it first. Huge weekend for Colorado State. Homecoming weekend, a gigantic crowd. I mean, it was a magical crowd. I'm walking through there before the game starts, shortly after the game ends, and it was a crazy crowd. You guys beat San Jose State, the defending Mountain West Conference champions, 32-14. You just kept chipping away, and defensively, Scott, we keep saying it now. It's a trend. Every single week, it seems like this defense just gets better.
Yeah, you know, and we're looking to build on that again this week. We made a few mistakes, I think, on defense that led to two easy touchdowns on, you know, their end. But, you know, if we, you know, continue to tighten it up on our end, you know, we'll continue to do better things each and every week and build off that. I mean, offensive side of the ball, too. Those guys came out. They did their thing today. And Camper obviously had a great day, too, going 6-for-6. I mean, we were just hitting it all on all cylinders, I feel like.
Yeah, well, and again, we talk about that. The defensive line, I tweeted something out at some point. I just feel like this front seven, the line, you guys were like a pack of wolves out there, man. I mean, everywhere you look, there was a lineman. If you didn't get him, one of your teammates did, one of your other, Manny Jones was bringing him down. I mean, it was just, you looked hungry out there. And even at the very end of that game, I mean, this game's all but done. And then you said, you know what, let's make it a for sure thing. You get the sack, you force the fumble, and okay, now it's pretty much officially over.
Yeah, put the nail in the coffin, right? We had so many guys that played great football. Like you said, Manny Jones. I mean, let's talk about Jack Howell stepping up, too. Mm. I mean, a lot of people across the board played, you know, their best football so far this season. And now we just got to keep pushing and building. And, you know, the great thing is these guys, you know, a lot of them show that they can play at an excellent high level. And now we just got to keep raising the bar every week. So, yeah. I mean, it's awesome. You know, it really showed, you know, this past weekend.
Yeah, Jack Howell, yeah, let's talk about that. That's a guy, you speak really highly of this guy, and you're hearing a lot more people talking this guy up with a nice play. Well, several nice plays in that one. So talk about him a little bit, man. Show him some love.
Oh, I mean, Jack Howell's a stud. He's definitely going to be a part of that future defensive, you know, faces of the program, whatever you want to call it. I mean, he's just, you know, I feel like a guy that, you know, has the right attitude, mindset, comes in and attacks it every day, you know, doesn't make excuses for himself. Like, you know, that's what you look for in a guy, you know. That's how you build your program with guys like him, for sure.
Okay, and you mentioned Caden Camper as well, 6-for-6. He kicked a 53-yarder, too. And you look at this from a couple of weeks ago, that Vanderbilt game. I know you and I talked about that. We want to put it to bed, but still, I think it's a fascinating story when you take a guy like that who is struggling. Since then, all the practices have been working. All the stuff you guys have been doing as far as trying to distract him and stuff, he's been damn near perfect.
I mean, that guy is taking it to another level. I mean, like Coach Adazio said earlier, he's been kicking a high level, you know, and obviously it's just a boost for our team, you know, when he's able to, you know, get it through the uprights, obviously, and we're able to get points out of every trip down there in the red zone. I mean, it's amazing what we were able to accomplish, you know, and obviously we didn't play a perfect game, you know. Like, you'd like to probably punch in a few of those offensive, you know, red zone trips, but, you know, we still got points. We came away with it, and we ended up winning by, you know, a larger margin, too, versus the, you know, defending Mountain West champions. So there's things we can still improve on, and we can still play at a higher level. But we got to keep growing, you know, and I think that's the mindset of a lot of guys. Is we see, you know, we talk about perseverance as a team, you know, like when things aren't going your way, but you're still doing the right things, you know, you can't quit. You got to keep, you know, pushing. You got to keep, you know, with the perseverance. You know, that was like the word of the week you talked about in our reflection this week. So leading up to the game, you know, perseverance definitely helped us, I feel like, as a team.
It's the Scott Patchen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. A couple of texts coming in here. This one from the 720 for you, Scott. Looking forward to the show today. Please ask Scott what clicked with this defense following a slow start in the first two games to really being dominant over the last three.
What clicked? Is that what you said?
Yeah, what clicked for the defense? Joel asking that question.
Oh, I think, you know, honestly, we just, you know, we made and we took extra steps as a defense as far as coming in and watching extra film as a unit right after practices on Thursdays, making sure we're all on the same exact page leading up to the game. And then, you know, I think we talked about, you know, having Toby back, you know, another elite guy out there from week one to week two, you know, helped us versus Vanderbilt. And then, you know, we continue to build off him and, you know, having his presence, you know, and other guys play their best games, you know, build off each other. And, you know, continue to feed off the momentum that we all bring, especially when you get younger guys like Jack. I can't talk about him enough, but, you know, when you got younger guys making plays, you know, and stepping up big time for us, it's just huge across the board.
And another guy that stepped up. Hey, and I'm going to take some credit for this, Scott. I predict a lot of things on this show, on my show, and I rarely get them right. So when I do, I kind of want to celebrate. I said Todd Senteo, I think he's going to have one of those nice games. I think he's going to connect on one of those long balls in this one. And he did. He looked very good in this football game.
He did. He came out throwing it, you know, and I loved, you know, the poise he had back there. He looked like everything you want your QB1 to look like. And he really showed us why, you know, he's the guy. So it's going to be great, you know. And now, you know, we got to get him to build off that and have a better game next week, you know. So I'm looking forward to New Mexico for sure. You know, I'm looking forward to watching him sling it. I'm looking forward to that offensive line making giant holes, you know, and for some tough running backs, Ajon, all those guys, you know. So it's going to be a fun week coming up for sure.
Ajon Vivens, 31 carries. I love. I don't know how you view the offensive side, Scott. I know you're just saying, you're like, I'm going to stop running backs, I'm going to stop quarterbacks. But when I watch offense, I love to see a guy get 31 carries and just keep going. 31 carries for 114 yards. And you're doing this, you know, David Bailey's out. Dante Wright's out. This team's finding ways offensively to produce. And again, Ajon Vivens had a chance to really catch up with him at the beginning of the season. Great guy. I was happy for him. I was happy for that entire rushing group getting 217 yards overall.
Oh yeah, anytime you get 4.1 yards per carry as an offensive line, you know, I think it just shows, you know, that group's resiliency and the way they're able to continue to push. You know, I think we rushed the ball a total of 50 something times, and when it comes out to 4.1, you know, it's huge. You know, you're not playing behind the sticks. It's obviously, you know, you're on pace to continue to move that ball down to the red zone like they did consistently on Saturday, which is just huge for us. You know, when you're moving the ball like that as an offensive unit too, people don't talk about it enough, but it gives the defense a rest. Mm. You know, so I think that offense, you know, really helped us play, you know, even better by moving the ball and, you know, obviously scoring points. But, you know, I mean, as far as taking time off the clock, letting us get, you know, our breaths back, you know, and just being able to, you know, help us get fresh before that next series, you know, it's huge and it's not talked about enough. So when you're playing complimentary football like that, you know, it's just, it's huge when you're hitting in all cylinders like that.
It gives you guys a rest, but does it also kind of pump you up too? Like when you're seeing the other unit driving down the field, they're coming up with big plays, they're getting everything done. Does that kind of pump you guys up too on the sidelines?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's just the way we sit on the sideline. Coach Smith sees the opposite end zone away from the scoreboard, but we see the giant jumbotron where we can kind of see what's going on. So we're the first ones to react, and Coach Smith's like, what happened? And then, you know, the cannon goes off, and then he gets the picture. But it definitely brings life to the entire team every time we're able to see them go down and punch it in.
Scott, you had an amazing game, man. You had six total tackles, two solo. You had the sack. You had the forced fumble. I think you had another tackle for loss or two. You also had a pass deflected. That pass, I thought you were taking it to the house, man. I thought you were going to pick that thing off and just you know, skip into the end zone.
So, yeah, you know, I'll be completely honest with you. I was not expecting him to throw it right through me.
I didn't either, man. I didn't either.
And when you're running full stride and you're looking to just try to match the throwing hand and then he just kind of chucks it right at you, honestly, I don't think he saw me. I think he was looking at the tight end who was, like, right behind me, but I got in that throwing window at the last second and everybody comes over and starts roasting me on the sideline. I get it, you know, maybe I'll get on the jugs this week. It's fine. We'll take care of it, you know. Look, a PBU is not as nice as an interception, you know, but It helped us get off the field. I'll put it like that.
Yeah, hey, that's the thing. I mean, I that would have been if that would have happened, it would have been like top five plays on Four Letter Network, man, because that would have been a tough tough interception. He was only like an inch away from you too. That's why it was crazy that he threw it. I mean, it just kind of came out of nowhere.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's just I was super surprised he threw it like, you know, right at me. That's probably why I just dropped it, to be honest with you. But can't have that. Won't let it happen again.
I didn't think it would, man. I foresee you being dropped into coverage a couple of times, and you're going to get one of those DB type picks too. I just see that happening.
I would love it, man. So you'll see a top 10?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. What was the crowd like for you guys? I was sitting in the press box, and we had the windows open and everything, and it was great. I mean, you could see the people filling in. It's homecoming, so people are kind of filling in late, and then, bam, that thing was packed. What was it like for you from the players' perspective?
Oh, I mean, it was packed, you know, from the start, but then I think Toby pointed it out to me. I think during the middle of the second quarter, he goes, and they're still coming in.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it was crazy, you know. And then, you know, you on Twitter, you see the amount of people that we had at our game, and it was just awesome. You know, we felt it, you know. I know San Jose State felt it, you know, and then you couple that with the altitude. It was not a fun day for them. I mean, it was just awesome to see the turnout overall. It was even more, you know, cool for us to just kind of pay it back with a win. And a dominant win at that.
Yeah, and you mentioned complimentary football, but in a sense, it's almost complimentary football / fan support too. Because when the fans show up like that, you guys want to be able to give them a win, and like you said, a huge win, and it's against the defending Mountain West champ. So many things about this kind of work together. I had tweeted this out. I was like, man, Canvas Stadium could be a really magical place if you're pairing up an audience like that with wins like that too.
Oh, absolutely. You know, now. You know, we've shown everybody we can do it. We got to keep it going. We got to ride the momentum, you know, and we got to make it magical again next time we're back in Kansas City.
We're talking to Scott Patchen. It's the Scott Patchen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Scott, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's do that. Let's take a look at the next opponent coming up. You've got New Mexico. You guys are back out on the road, so let's talk about that coming up next. If you're going to hang out for a bit.
Okay, yeah, sounds good.
All right, man. We'll talk to you in just a bit. That's Scott Patchen. It's the Scott Patchen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. This is Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my good friend, Brady Hull.
And, of course, we make that transition every Monday at 1 o'clock to now the Scott Patchen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. The Colorado State Rams are 1-0, where it matters most, in Mountain West Conference play. And, it's kind of cool to see it right now, Scott. When you look at the Mountain West standings, the Rams are on top because Air Force is 2-1, Boise State's 1-1, Utah State's 1-1, Wyoming 0-1, New Mexico 0-2. And so, I know it's for a week, but hey, looking at that, it's pretty sweet seeing it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, this conference is wide open, you know, so coming out of non-conference play, you know, is very disappointing for us because we saw what we could have done as a team, you know, and we grew from it, obviously. And I think all that matters, though, is we look towards conference play and we start rolling on our end and playing our best ball in conference play when it matters most, when you can play for a championship. So we're looking forward to doing that. We're looking forward to taking the next step this week versus New Mexico. So it's going to be a great game. Can't wait to play them, actually.
On the road, obviously so much momentum at Canvas Stadium. We'll put that on the shelf for now. We'll look forward to getting back to that in a couple of weeks. But going up against this New Mexico team, 0-2 in the conference, their record overall 2-4. They lose a rough game against San Diego State, 31-7. So, Scott, at this stage, you know what sticks out the most about New Mexico, about this Lobos team, that you know on their offensive side of the ball? Anything that the film tells you at this point, or where are you guys at that stage?
Well, nothing crazy on film. I will say, though, like, personally, I do know one of the receivers because he went to my high school.
Oh, wow.
Emmanuel Green, yeah. So I'm looking forward to playing against him, you know, personally. he was a guy that went to UCF, you know, and then transferred to New Mexico. So it's going to be cool to finally, you know, get to chit chat with him after and before the game. Looking forward to playing against him, you know, and having a little bragging rights when we chat after the game. We'll put it like that.
a little friendly bragging rights type deal, right? How often does that happen, you know, where you see a lot of guys, especially at the high school side of it, where it's like guys you went to high school with that you're playing against or even playing on the same team? And so how often does that happen?
Well, for me, it might be a little different. I went to IMG Academy in Florida. So,
yeah, that's true. You're not getting a whole heck of a lot on the, as far as jumping into the conference, Mountain West Conference.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but, you know, it's crazy, though, because, you know, when I was in the ACC, I did, you know, and even on my team, I had a good amount of guys, you know, that I still talk to, you know, that we played together, you know, KJ Osborne with the Vikings, my guy Tyree was with the Chargers. But, I mean, just more of them out there, too. I mean, they're playing the league right now, too, and, you know, a lot of more guys are going to get an opportunity here too. So it's fun, you know, and it's cool, and it's going to be awesome to get to connect with them too afterwards. But it's crazy. You know, I don't think too many people have the ability to say from their own high school. You know, maybe unless you're from Cali or Florida or Texas, but it's rough when you're not from one of those three states. I would say that produce, you know, consistent guys every year, or probably just, you know, the better caliber high school players. If you ask somebody from the state of, you know, Florida, Cali, or Texas, who has the best football? It's a never-ending argument, but yeah.
We're talking to Scott Patchens, the Scott Patchens Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. When you look at this New Mexico team, a little bit different for you guys compared to the last 3 weeks. Now, I know ultimately you ended up being favored against San Jose State. That kind of changed. But I still think that there were people out there wondering, okay, this could be a really good game. We'll see. Not sure what the Rams can do, but we'll find out, because San Jose State obviously carrying over the momentum from last year. They returned pretty much everybody, and I know Starkle didn't play, but everybody else was playing in that game. So, you know, you wondered how, and then you go back to the Iowa game, and then you go back to Toledo, not favorites in those games, obviously. Now you look at this game, a little bit different feel because of New Mexico and the season that they've had thus far. How do you guys kind of look at that and avoid any kind of, you know, I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it, the trap game, letdown game?
Well, first and foremost, like I said, you know, every week beforehand leading up to it, you got to respect your opponent each and every week. And, you know, the fact that they're 2-4 doesn't mean that they're not going to come out hungry as ever, you know, for a win. So I personally believe, and I'm expecting that, you know, from them, especially up front. So, you know, that's, you know, what I would tell everybody, you know, that's what we're preaching in our locker room, you know. So we're expecting a very hungry New Mexico team. We're going to their house, and, you know, it's going to probably be a dogfight, you know, just because of the way that they play, you know, and their coaches and the way that they're coaching them up. So we fully expect that. You know, that's another thing, too, is when you're talking about trap games, you know, if you don't give your opponent the respect they deserve, you know, you most of the time end up playing down to their level, which you never want to do. You always want to play at your level. So just something to think about.
I'm thinking about it, man.
My two cents.
Scott Patchens joining us. It's the Scott Patchens Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Interesting with that San Jose State game when you look at it. Last year you guys played four games. So was it weird to cross that threshold to get past that? Because sitting at 2-3, playing five games, did that even cross your brain? Because last year was such a funky year.
No, that's actually the first time it's been brought up.
That's what I do, man.
Yeah, it did not cross my brain, but you know what? That's a good point, you know, and I'm happy we crossed this threshold. Can't wait to cross the rest of these games, too.
Was it like an emotional win at all for you guys, just knowing, you know, what it was like to start the season, South Dakota State, Vanderbilt, rough outings, but to know you guys were getting better and better and better, drama that you and I talked about outside of the program that ultimately you looked at and said, hey, at the end of the day, it's not that big a deal. Was it somewhat kind of emotional, extremely rewarding to win, or was this just like, hey, it's a great homecoming win, a great win, but we got work to do?
I would say the latter, like you just said. You know, it was big in the sense that, you know, it was time to reap the benefits of all the hard work we've been putting in, you know, and conference play, like I said, was disappointing. So in the way that, you know, we deserved a win, we worked hard for a win, it was time to go earn one, which we did, you know, and then now it's just, you know, okay, who's next on the schedule? You know, it's 1 week seasons. All right, we got New Mexico this week, let's lock in, you know, let's go after them. We can't keep, you know, I would say living in San Jose State. We, you know, we got to keep moving forward.
Another text here. How's the defense preparing for the Lobos' unique triple option?
We got it taken care of. Don't worry.
No specifics? Nothing like that? You're not going to give us any kind of specifics that we can draw up?
No. You'll see. You'll see on Saturday.
Oh, now I got to know, man. My goodness. All right. Well, I'll take your word for it. You guys kind of become a bit of road warriors coming up. You're at New Mexico this Saturday. And then I know we can't look forward, but I'm just going to say it out loud so people have it in their heads. The following Friday at Utah State, home against Boise State 3 weeks down the road. So we wish you guys the best of luck on the road, Scott. It was so much fun watching this game, seeing what you guys can do when it all works together against what I still think is a pretty damn tough team in the San Jose State Spartans.
Oh, yeah, they were tough for sure. I mean, they didn't give up at all. You know, they were still looking to push the ball down the field. I think, you know, we talked about that last little nail in the coffin, you know. So they wanted to, you know, they do it. They weren't quitting by any measures, you know. So let's just, that team, you know, they came in here and they didn't give us a win. We earned a win. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, no question. Well, and you personally, Scott, and I know you I'm going to brag on you a little bit, but you were all over the damn field, dude. You were just, I mean, you never gave up. I saw one play. You ended up on one side of the field. You're getting to the quarterback. He kind of makes a move. He runs around to the opposite side of the field. I'm watching you go clear across the field. You didn't end up getting the tackle, but you ended up right there. So if there was like a missed tackle or anything, you're there. You weren't the only one. I was seeing other guys do that. You guys never seem to give up on plays. That's what I'm saying. Like the pack of wolves, you guys were hungry well in and after the play.
Oh, yeah. You know, we preset as a defense, you know, we all have to run to the ball, you know, because there's strength in numbers. You know, if one guy misses, there's going to be somebody else there to clean them up, you know. So that's something we emphasize as a defense, you know, and I think it really shows this week, too, especially because, you know, San Jose State was trying to make things happen with number 16. You know, I think he was a wide receiver. They moved back to quarterback, but, you know, and he had good feet. He wanted to run all day. So that means we had to run all day, too.
Yeah, were you pretty exhausted at the end of that one?
You know, we didn't play that many plays, so I wasn't exhausted, but it was just like, you know, it felt like I did a little track workout.
Well, that's when it's nice to be able to have, like you said, the offense taking some time off that clock, grinding it out a little bit, because it gives you guys a much-needed rest.
Oh, it did. It did, 100%. You know, I think it just led to great defensive play, so shout-out to the offense for that one.
Scott, anything else you want to add, man? I know you got to go. I know you got to get that car situation figured out. Anything else you want to add about, you know, of course, the fan support? A couple of weeks until you're back home, but I expect that place to be bumping when the Broncos come to town.
Yeah, I kind of picture the same thing, too. Go Rams, you know, I'm excited. You know, can't wait to come back home to you guys. Tune in. You know, we play New Mexico. It's going to be a great one. You know, I appreciate all the support from everybody. You know, we as a team appreciate all the support from everybody out there. That's it.
All right, my man. It was a lot of fun, and we wish you the best of luck this upcoming Saturday. See if you guys can break off two in a row. Good luck, my friend.
All right, thank you.
All right, that's Scott Patchen, defensive lineman for the Colorado State Rams. He had a fantastic game against San Jose State as they win 32-14. And really, when you want to look at the Rams, the last 3 weeks have been really good, beating Toledo, battling it out with Iowa. Then you beat your first conference game of the schedule. You beat San Jose State. And I was listening to Steve Adazio's press conference on the way home on Saturday. And, you know, he's true. He's like, he's right. This group returned pretty much everybody. And yeah, they didn't have Nick Starkle. But I got to tell you guys, I don't know that the results are going to be that much different. You beat a team 32-14. 33 minutes after the hour, more Broncos Steelers fallout. We'll talk about that next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Prep sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Holmes.
Minutes after the hour. How about On the Rocks Liquor celebrating their 10th anniversary? They always bring us our game beer of the week, too. And you know what? We did this a while back. We got to do it again because it's perfect time. Samuel Adams Oktoberfest. It's my go-to. I think it's probably my favorite beer. I'm close. Rule 105 has that M2K2. I don't know if you've tried that yet, Colbs. That's for, as far as a local beer, that's my new favorite beer. But this is my favorite probably overall, and the fact you can only enjoy it, you know, for what, a couple of months? Sam Adams Oktoberfest is the game beer of the week at On the Rocks Liquor. Pick up selections from Sam Adams or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight if you'd like. They also have their Friday 4 to 6 o'clock, their spirit tasting. This one's from Molly Brown Spirits out of Denver. I don't think you can find Molly Brown Spirits really anywhere else other than On the Rocks Liquor. So check them out. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. And as we kind of put the finishing touches on this Broncos-Steelers game, our Power to Play Sports poll question is available, too. What's more likely to happen? What's likely to happen first, I suppose? Or maybe all of these things. Three of the four of these things happen. I don't know. Pat Shurmur fired. Vic Fangio fired. Drew Locke replaces Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback. Or, you know what? All that's moot because they're going to get it right. They're going to get this thing back on the right track, and we don't have to worry about firing Vic Fangio. Are they just two bad games? I mean, that's what I'm asking you, Hooligans. Do you feel like it was just two bad games, and you're willing to go back to the 3 weeks ago and say, hey, remember the times when we won three in a row? We're that team. I think you are that team. I got to be honest. Yeah, after watching the last two games, my 11 win prediction, I'm a little concerned about it. A little concerned because I thought the Steelers would be one of those wins. I'm not crazy. If they were just getting beat, then it's one thing. But the play calling has just been strange. I've said this a bazillion times. I don't like to be that guy. You know, the nerd on my couch. You know, the play calling's rough here. I try not to be that guy because I'm not a head coach. It's different. But there comes a time when it's like, it just seems obvious. Like, why are you doing a throwaway carry on 3rd and 13? I know I'm harping on that, but I know it happens, and we see it happen in the NFL a lot. But with the Broncos, it's like, I said this is the first hour. It just kind of feels like you do the opposite. When you're supposed to run on first down, you pass. When you're supposed to pass on 3rd and long, you run to see if you can catch them off guard. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. What's more likely to happen first for the Broncos this season? Shurmur fired? That's 45% of the Hooligans are saying Pat Shurmur fired. 27% saying Fangio fired. 18% say, hey, I think Denver gets this thing back on track. Only 9% think Drew Locke is going to replace Teddy as the starting quarterback. Teddy is blameless, according to the Hooligans today. I don't think he's blameless. I just don't understand. You know, 24-38, 288 yards. He had a touchdown, or two touchdowns. He had the interception. He had that beautiful throw to Cortland Sutton. That was an absolute, oh, beauty. Gem of a pass. And, it did show you, Teddy can do it. I think there's going to be times where Teddy might be able to bring you back in games. I'm not counting on it. But I'm still seeing a backup caliber type quarterback. I'm seeing a guy that's in a set, what is it, 17 games now. Wow, I'm still getting used to that. In a 17-game season, I absolutely believe you could go 6 to 9 games and you could have pretty good play from him. Sometimes that's the difference between a really good backup quarterback, which is what Teddy is. He's not just a backup. He's a really good backup. And a great starter. A guy that's, and when I say great starter, I mean a guy that's, he's going to be the starter for a very long time. He's the guy. Those guys can go of a 17-game season, which we haven't seen yet. But if we're just doing 16, those guys are typically giving you 13. If not more. They're going to have 2 or 3 games in there where you just go, hey, it was a rough night for him. Rough night for Patrick Mahomes last night against Buffalo. I don't foresee that being a pattern. Kansas City certainly has some issues, but I don't see that as a pattern yet. So I'm not saying Drew Locke should start against the Raiders. But the team that loses on Sunday will be 500 in a division that has Justin Herbert and the Chargers absolutely rolling right now. They are leading the division. You have a team in Kansas City that, I mean, we better be 90% of the way through the season and they're below 500 for me to finally put that team to bed, because I'm not going there. So the team that loses Sunday, and if Kansas City can figure it out this weekend, you drop back down to the bottom and tied with the Chiefs. The Chiefs are on the road at Washington and then at Tennessee the next two games. I think the Chiefs win those, even though they're on the road, but we'll see. The loser Sunday's 500, and it's not the end of the world, but if you're the Broncos with a 500 record, suddenly feels a little bit worse, because you go 3-0 against the team's worst, and then against, I would say, Baltimore is an upper echelon team. They'll probably prove that tonight even more against the Colts. Pittsburgh's not an upper echelon team. The Raiders aren't an upper echelon team. So if they lose to them, then you'd be 3-3, and you're proving that you're kind of going to be more or less maybe an average team. And so the question is, do you want to get to the point where you win seven games with Teddy? Or do you really, and again, Drew Lock, when he came in last week in the second half, was atrocious. Are we there? I just feel like we're not quite. I haven't seen the book closed yet on Drew Lock. So while I'm not trying to make this about Teddy, it starts with Pat Shurmur. That's the first that should happen. If this happens again, Pat Shurmur, you should consider moving on from him. Especially because Teddy's a veteran. He doesn't necessarily need the stability of having the same offensive coordinator. Vic Fangio's close. I think all of them are pretty damn close right now. But if you lose to Oakland, whew, there it is. If you lose to Vegas, then you're at Cleveland the following Thursday, short turnaround, with a team that's already riddled with injuries. Washington's not as bad. Then you're at Dallas. Dallas is kind of looking like a contender right now. Philadelphia could be a win at home. Chargers are at home. I'm not feeling as confident about that as I used to. I'm feeling less confident about Broncos at home against the Chargers than I am at Arrowhead Stadium the following week. That's crazy. You got the Lions, Bengals in there, Raiders game. You start looking at the schedule, and again, Washington and the Dallas Cowboys were two wins or two games I thought for sure were going to be wins. I think Dallas is a contender right now. This Raiders game is very important. It's important for both teams. You know, Gruden's got all the stuff going on about the racial email that went out 10 years ago or whatever. And it seems like the team, for the most part, according to what I read, is kind of like, you know what? It did happen. We're moving on. We're moving on. But if you lose three games in a row, does that start to fester a little more? Losses hurt everything. Wins cure everything. So as we really bust into this, we've got to start. We're going to dissect more on the Broncos tomorrow, too, as far as what exactly went down in that Pittsburgh game. Defensively, yeah, I would be a little concerned about the defense, too. Are they elite? They're not elite based on that Pittsburgh game. I thought they held strong against Baltimore, but just over time, the Ravens got away, just kept going, just kept chipping at them. I think for the Broncos, they have to find ways to come up with momentum killers as far as plays, picks, sacks, more forced fumbles. And I know they had the forced fumble against Pittsburgh in that one. But there's fears right now. There's legitimate concerns about the Broncos at this stage. And it feels like we're all Bill Murray right now. And it's Groundhog's Day. Like, that's what it feels like. You got Vic Fangio saying, we got to get off to better starts. You got Pat Shurmur talking about, I'm dedicated to the run. But then 2 weeks in a row, you still don't really see it. And I know this week was a little different. They didn't just run it four times in the second half, but about the same amount of carries for the guys. So this Raiders one is huge. It's my game of the week, actually, Colfax. There it is. You didn't think I was going to get it in this Monday, did you, Colts? That's my game of the week. Raiders Broncos this weekend, this Sunday, and it's huge. If the Steelers game was huge, this one's even bigger at home against the Raiders. 48 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. We got Monday Night Football. We got baseball going on right now. Let's look at some of those scores when we come back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to my man, Brady Hall, and The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Now, the Braves are up over the Brewers right now, 3-0 at that point, bottom of the seventh. So Braves are rolling. That series is tied. You got Rays, Red Sox coming up. I think that's, it's game four. Man, the baseball playoffs goes by so fast. Boston leads that series 2-1. And then also tonight at 7:30, Giants, Dodgers. That series tied at one apiece. Astros, White Sox. That one's postponed. Their makeup day is set for tomorrow at, I don't have a makeup time just yet, but Houston, of course, leads that series 2-1. Monday Night Football tonight, it's going to be on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. The Baltimore Ravens playing host to the Colts. The Colts are 1-3. The Ravens are 3-1. And you guys know me, Lamar Jackson's the most electrifying man in the world of sports entertainment. And he is going to light it up tonight in Baltimore. So just enjoy that game. I don't even know what the spread is, but, and I don't normally make, the other 7.5-point favorites. There you go. I don't normally make this a part of my picks. I did go 5-1 over the weekend, everybody. You're welcome. 3-1 locally, 2-0 with my at-large picks in college and NFL. So, yeah, we're figuring it out, okay? We're going to get into way more Broncos talk on a Tuesday, on a Top Text Tuesday. So don't worry about that. And, hey, Avs are coming up. Nuggets are coming up. We're getting there, folks. It's the busiest time of the whole year. Usually October. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.